It is very dangerous work, and it can be incredibly lucrative. For 30 years, fishermen have taken huge risks to bring in crab from the Bering Sea off Alaska. But in the past year, new federal regulations have changed the crab business there completely. A new program known as rationalization has made crab fishing safer and easier for government regulators to manage. But it's also put more than 1,000 fishermen out of work, and it's put an end to a rough-and-tumble frontier culture. From Dutch Harbor, Alaska, Charles Holmans of member station KIAL reports.
Over the past 15 years, Lisa Elliott has bartended at almost every fisherman's bar in the Aleutian Islands port of Dutch Harbor, and she has the stories to prove it. She once saw a customer slash another man's throat after an argument in front of the bar. She also remembers the first time a fisherman handed her a $100 bill as a tip.
Some guy threw out $100, and I was like, oh, no, dear, you can't tip me $100. And he took a lighter, and he went to light it on fire, and I was like, hey, put the thing out. And he's like, hey, it's spent anyway. You might as well take it. I'm like, gladly.
But these days, Dutch Harbor isn't quite what it used to be. On an afternoon in early November, only a handful of crab boats are unloading king crab at the processing plants that line the docks, a far cry from the hundreds of boats that used to pack the harbor this time of year under a system that was known as the Derby. The Derby had fishermen racing to haul in as much red king crab and snow crab as possible from the Bering Sea before the fishery-wide limit was reached.
I mean, where else can you you make $100,000 a year or so just with a Victorinox and a pair of boots and rain gear?
Pat Quinn is a deckhand on the crab boat Early Dawn, who spent 16 years fishing in the Derby. He was lucky to last that long. During the Derby years, crab fishing in Alaska was the most dangerous job in the United States. In one of the worst two-year periods of the early 90s, 32 crab fishermen died in Alaskan waters. But the danger and the prospect of making tens of thousands of dollars in a few days were part of the thrill.
That feeling of you don't know when it's going to be your turn, you know, kind of like the night before Christmas type thing, you know, you get all excited.
Under the new system, the Bering Sea crab quota is treated like a big pie, and each boat owner and processor who's been in the business long enough is given a slice. It allows boat owners to fish more economically by pooling multiple slices on a single boat. As a result, the Bering Sea crab fleet shrunk by two-thirds between 2004 and 2005. One of those out of a job is Barney Olson, a crab boat captain and fisherman's union leader.
I've been fishing crab for over 30 years, and I guess you let it sort of define who you are. I didn't expect to be one of the statistics, and I kind of thought I was going to be one of the survivors.
The big winners under the new system are the processors. The largest plant in Dutch Harbor is the one operated by Unicy, which will ship about 3 million pounds of king crab to buyers in the U.S. and Japan before the holidays. Under the new regulations, that process takes weeks longer than it used to, and operations manager Rocky Caldero says that's a good thing.
Before rationalization started, we would process as many boats as possible, so we would go process as fast as we could. The bad thing with that is you can't really put an emphasis on a quality product.
Critics argue that while the new system may be good for processors and seafood lovers, it amounts to putting a public resource in private hands. And even many of the veteran fishermen who were able to hold on to their jobs say they don't want them now. The old high-stakes culture of Bering Sea crab fishing is a thing of the past. Chris Hansen spent 15 years as a crab boat deckhand and quit the year the regulations went into effect.
I miss the Derby. It's your chance to go out and be a Bering Sea cowboy for one glorious moment, and then that's gone.
But boat owners say that change was inevitable. Fuel prices were rising, crab prices were falling, and something had to give. For NPR News, I'm Charles Holmans.
Thank you.